that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning, first day of December 2018. It is Saturday morning, and looks like it's going to be a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. And we've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And we welcome back Tim out in Nebraska. Tim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you here. And we say welcome to you, the remnant. We thank you for getting up a little earlier on the West Coast than it is on the East Coast, but we thank you for joining us here. We know that the remnant does that, joins us on the satellite and on the Internet and on the telephone and just the many different ways that you can join us here, and we thank you for that. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We've prayed that already this morning, but we say it again. Holy Spirit, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and your word says you are there also, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Well, we will have the phone lines open. Lots going on around the world, and here in the States. But, John, if you'd open us up in prayer first, that is certainly where we need to start.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you for this time that you've set aside for us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding. Show us what it is that is important for your people to understand. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, we cry out for those in Alaska, those that are yours, Lord. We just ask for your grace and mercy and compassion to be upon them, Father. But Lord, as we see these birth pangs growing closer and closer together, just as your word says, as we hear of rumors of war, Father, and we see that the stage is being set by those who think they control the world to start World War III and numerous other things going on all across the world. Father, we cry out for grace and mercy and compassion for your people in your wrath. Father, let this earthquake in Alaska be an eye-opener, Lord, that causes your people to stop and to think. Father, I pray that those that have been lost, those that have believed the lie, that you no longer exist, or that we are no longer need to fear God, Father, that this would be that awakening moment that they need. Father, that you would bring them to repentance, that they'd fall upon their face and that they'd cry out and ask for forgiveness. Father, we lift up our brother there in Arkansas that's battling an end-of-life crisis, been battling cancer for quite some time. Lift up him and his family, Lord. We ask for grace and mercy and compassion to be upon that family, Lord, in peace, the kind of peace that passes all understanding, that only a Christian can understand, that if we remain faithful, we will see him again. Lord, just put into their hearts and their minds and their souls your words that when we're a Christian, we can boldly say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory?" And death has no victory in a Christian's life. So, Father, we just pray for that family right now that's going through this trial and tribulation. And although we don't understand it, your word is still there, that you work all things for good for those that love you and abide in you and are called by your purpose. So, Lord, just as Hebrews 1:14 says that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels, we ask that you would send your ministry and angels out to your people all across the country and through the world, Lord. Send your guardian angels to protect those, even from these birth pangs that are coming upon the land. And Father, send your warring angels to battle Leviathan. We just claim the victory in all of these battles, in mind, body, and soul, pleading the blood of Jesus, the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over all those that are yours. And we pray that in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning. If you want to call in, 307-745-5913. And Jason, didn't know if you'd had a chance to look. You've got family up there in Alaska. Any other details or on that big earthquake up there?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a bunch of stuff that me and Tim were talking about. It's talk about devastation, you know. And people talk about earthquakes, though. I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, people just say, oh, these things happen every 40 years, or they happen every 20 years, or this or that. You know, I think it's really important that we look at the scriptures when we see an earthquake. I wrote down a couple of scriptures that I wanted to start off with, just because, you know, the Bible actually has quite a bit to say about earthquakes, and not very many people realize it. Starting with Luke 21:11, it says, "And a great earthquake shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven." Mark 13:8 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." And, you know, that scripture right there, it ties into a whole lot of different things, but it's interesting because there in that scripture in Mark 13:8, that is a sign. That is a sign for things to come. And, you know, that's one of the things. It's like when you see an earthquake, God's trying to get your attention.
Yes.
The scripture clearly tells that. And the scriptures really clearly tell us who is behind earthquakes. You know, and have we not seen nation rise against nation? Have we not seen kingdom rise against kingdom? We're seeing the earthquakes that it talks about in diverse places. Have we not seen famines? We're in, you know, we're in a famine right now in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And here it says it's the beginning of sorrows. And I thought that that was interesting. Revelation 11:13 says, in the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the sea fell in the earthquake, were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to God of heaven. You know, and here, you know, we have a situation where it took an earthquake for people's hearts and minds to be turned back to God. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Matthew 24:7 says, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine. Same thing that Luke 21:11 says. Acts 16:26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosened. It's, you know, the list goes on and on and on, and I encourage people to, you know, take it as a sign from heavens, because it's, you know, it's prophesied that when we see earthquakes, it's for our time now, and it talks about things that happen in the future.
Absolutely. I thought it was noteworthy that President Trump's tweet from Argentina last night was, may God bless the people of Alaska. We're praying for you. And then Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out with when she was doing the news report on that, she said, we are all praying for the people of Alaska. And I was like, well, that's refreshing,
yes.
Actually see someone up there behind that podium appealing to the mercy and grace and divine wisdom of God in these manners for people's, you know, benefit. So, thanks for doing that. Go ahead, John.
I don't know if you saw, but when they were, when President Trump and his wife were lighting the White House Christmas tree, he did a presentation, you know, live, and of course the media's done everything they can to squelch that, but bottom line was he came out and he brought up 2,000 years ago a Savior was born to us, and he read the scriptures about the Son of Christ, and he mentioned the name Jesus Christ multiple times in his speech, and said that he was the light of the world. And I don't know if I've ever heard the name Jesus Christ mentioned as many times as he mentioned it, nor the story of the birth of Christ in the Bible read, nor the fact that Jesus was, that he referred to Jesus as the light of the world. So,
amen.
They're significant things.
Amen. And you know, should we be, I mean, we are amazed. We are, but you know, I think people have been praying for him. I think people have been listening and praying and obeying the Bible when we're told to pray for our leaders and to pray for the cities that we're in and the nation that we're in. Praise God. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I really think it is.
Yeah, well, God still hears the prayers of the saints. And
yes.
The fact
yes.
that we continue to pray that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And I still believe that these now 65,000 plus indictments all across the country and throughout the world of those that have been treasonous, those that have cut their own deals, especially regarding child trafficking, child sacrifice, pedophilia, I mean, in high-ranking positions. I mean, I think the world's about to be rocked politically in a way that's never taken place in the history of the world. And the last I read about what was going on, it appears that December 5th is going to be a significant day. I don't know that for sure, but you know, you start to see, I think the globalists are worried. There's basically they're setting up for a war between Crimea and Russia right now. I don't know if you read anything about that, but it appears to be a last-ditch attempt to start a third world war, because really that's the only thing that's going to at least hinder or delay what's going on in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
I did see some of that in some of the stuff I was looking at about a moving tanks through Poland and one thing or another. Up and coming. Yeah. And I seen a an article in Independent. They were talking about seismic waves in magma that had all the scientists bewildered. That caught my eye. Whenever I see scientists bewildered, I'm like, okay. But they were talking about these waveforms in there, and one of their experts, one of their experts said, the mystery waveform is a crisp zigzag, and they're just too nice and too perfect to be nature. And of course, then they started joking it off like they normally do. If they don't have all the skinny on something, why then they, you know, it becomes some kind of funny little whatever. And they were talking about, well, it could be this or it could be that. Maybe it's sea monsters, haha, you know, and everything else. And nowhere on there do they talk about it being God's hand moving, you know. And I couldn't help but think about, Jason had mentioned the Bible, I couldn't help thinking about Isaiah 2, 18 through 20, where it said that all their idols will completely vanish, and man will go into the caves and the rocks and the holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, and when he arises to make the earth tremble. And in that day, men will cast away to the moles and the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. And we're seeing a lot of these idols broken down, and God's splendor. Like it's just like Jason said, when we see those things go on, when we see the earth tremble and those things go on, God's trying to get our attention. And I think, you know, we look at our Bible and see all these idols that they worshiped, and we're like, oh, how could they do that? But it's probably more prevalent today, and people are more blind to it today than they've ever been, as far as the idols that are worshiped, right, and the things that go on.
That's right. You know, so, you know, Tim, what comes to mind about those idols is, you know, we grew up, you had Monday Night Football. Everybody had Monday Night Football, but see, now they got Sunday Night Football, and they have Thursday Night Football, and they have Tuesday Night Football, and Sunday Afternoon Football. And yeah, the idols, the false idols, the things that come before God are rampant in our land today, and I think that's just one of them. You know, the sports icons that has been built up into, I think that definitely fits for, you know, one of those false idols. And, you know, some people have...
But they're losing their draw, too.
That's right. That's some people have awoken to that. Some people have seen that, hey, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought it was. I think some people are coming to their senses. Some people are awakening to that mess. And, yeah, you see it, John, you're right. There's many stadiums. You'll see a flash across the stands, and half the stands are empty.
Yeah. Well, and we have a time. I was thinking about talking about going into the holes of the ground in that part of that verse. And you know, there's a common saying among people. It's a little older one. I haven't heard it a lot. But we used to say, "Well, you know, get back in your hole and pull it in after you." You know, and that usually applied to evil and wicked people. And I think that's, you know, God's doing that. And then we hear all these stories about, and whether they're true or not, but, you know, all these stories about underground cities and all this kind of stuff and that kind of stuff. And God made the earth for his people and for us. And he blesses the earth for his people and for their benefit. And we've got a lot of
we've got a lot of evil that's going on above ground right now. And I think it goes along with our prayers, you know, above the ground or under it, you know, I mean, God's, there's definitely these sorts of things going on when you look at all this. And that earthquake up there was, wow, 48,000 people without power, you know, lots of...
In the winter.
In the winter, yeah.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
You know, you see that, don't you see the hand of God in it, though? Here's a 7.0 magnitude earthquake just outside of Anchorage, right? No deaths.
Nobody dead or...
No deaths. You know, they had the other, the last major earthquake was back, I think, in, what was it, 64? Yeah. Yeah, in March of 1964, they had a 9.2 earthquake, strongest ever recorded in U.S. history. Killed 130 people. But, you know, here this one, a 7.0, that's not one of these little 3 or 4.0s that they kind of rumble the ground. And like it's been said, the infrastructure destroyed. They said the airport, you know, everything comes in and out of their airport, and the roads in and out of the airport, are some of them are gone. I read one note that said, you know, the highway that went here along the coast is just gone. Not to rebuild, but, you know, that's got to be rerouted.
Yeah, massive. The Glen Highway or whatever.
Yeah, and then, you know, without power in Alaska, I think it's chilly here today. We're only going to be highs in the 20s, but I think that's downright warm probably compared to what it's the temperature is in Alaska. But the hand of God, you know, in His wrath, does He not remember mercy? And He does, and that's where I think it's a shakening, it's an awakening, it's a hello. You better pay attention to this. You know, I had a scripture verse along with that, if I could find it here this morning.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how big Alaska is. Apparently, you can take the three largest states, I guess Texas, California, well, I don't know what the third largest state is, but and still have room there. And
yeah.
Throughout that whole territory, there's 600,000 people. There's more than that just in, I believe, in L.A., you know. So you start to take those things into perspective. But Alaskans are tough. They're resilient people. We have touched base with several of the people that are members of the body, and more up towards Fairbanks. They felt it, but nowhere near as bad, obviously, as Anchorage.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting that it's so close to Anchorage, but it was across the bay there, or wherever it is. I don't know exactly, but...
Yeah, Big Lake was actually like the epicenter of it, I think. That's what they talked about.
You know, and then it's been a few months, but people forget. Look what happened in Hawaii. You know, those volcanoes, those are unprecedented.
Right.
The things that are going on are pretty much the fires in California. I mean, these things are all unprecedented. And when you think about how much damage is done, the cost of all that, you know, federal government says, yeah, well, you know, we'll spare no expense at... rebuilding, you know, but boy, I tell you what, at some point, obviously the federal government's already broke, but, you know, at some point it's going to come down to just repentance, crying out, asking for forgiveness, acknowledging and fearing God once again in the land.
Amen. Amen.
Every knee will bow one way or the other.
Yep. Yeah, the scripture verse that came to mind was in Matthew 11, 23 and 24, and Jesus says, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, Sodom would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And I picture our land, and I picture these things happening, you know, as a forerunner to this scripture coming true here. You know, as another wake-up call. You know, we have a merciful God that gives us opportunity after opportunity to return and repent and to come to our senses like the prodigal son did and return and
you know, if people can't see this, that's certainly what it is, then I hope and pray that they do. Well, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And yeah, like was said, they California burned up and now flash flooding. They have, of course, they've got their burn scars and now the rains come and debris flows and mudslides. They had flash flood warnings just Thursday, 2 days ago. And the places that weren't burned out are flooding out.
I talked to a guy I know in Redding and just a day or two ago, and he said that he just about lost his business as a result of the fire up there in Redding. I mean, it was within yards of his business, and he said that, and now we're trying to keep from being washed away. And he said if we'd had these rains 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I honestly don't remember what he said, 2 or 3, but it was something like one of those time frames, and he said you can almost set your clock by a rain. They were late, and he said had they been on time, these fires would have been much less of an issue, if they'd have been an issue at all. But he said he said, but they were late, and he said, now we're being washed away. So he said, he said, it's just weird. He said, and he said, you got to wonder what God's thinking about on all that. And I was like, oh, do you really? He's like, well, maybe not. But, right. People are beginning to the wheels are starting to turn on. This has got to be divine intervention, divine, something here is just, this is way out of the norm. So we see what's going on.
You read 2 Peter 3:9, and it pretty much tells you what's going on. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us,
yes,
toward not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the scripture that comes to my mind when you see the devastation that we've seen, and other than the California fires, I mean, we still don't even, I don't know, see how it's even possible that they don't know where 500 people are, but whatever. And they escalate that, to the 1,200 and whatever, and then it's down to 500 the next day. So obviously they're playing games with the number of people that actually perished in those fires, but that's the scripture that comes to my mind, that God is a patient God, and he does not desire. So many people have bought into the lie and fallen away from God. I mean, sure, the churches have become false prophets, teaching mills, but I read an article the other day, something like 20 churches an hour are failing all across the world, and regardless of what they're teaching, if there's, even if they're just partaking of communion, and those people are examining their lives and those things, once we start to lose those people who abide in Christ, there's got to be an effect. They're just hostile.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that you're back to that idol situation again. I mean, I'm reminded with what you said there, John, about it wasn't too long ago that I read they'd done a survey of a lot of pastors in mainstream churches or priests, or they lump all that in together. But what was their motivation for becoming a religious leader or this sort of thing? And 80-some% of them answered that it wasn't the money. And, we know about how much money they made, and we know that, money is another one of those idols, and we see that. And so if 80% of those pastors are only in it for the money, they're not, you go back to the Christ talking about the shepherds that eat the sheep and those sort of things. They have no concern for the flock. They have no concern. And so to see them fall away and fail, I think, is not a big stretch of the imagination, you know, as far as that goes when you see that. But God is still there. And by the way, that still leaves 13 or 14% that are in it for the right reason. And I think that we're going to see that kind of stuff purged, and real and true Christianity and fear of God and the strength of the Lord show itself. So, well, those things are coming.
Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 7, says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed from the Lord, will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all the powers and signs and false wonders, and with the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Those are the ones that have believed the lie and have fallen away." And, I mean, it's obvious there, at least to me, the one that restrains is the Holy Spirit. And when you remove that spirit in the land, which has been being removed for many years,
yes,
more significantly than ever over the last, I would say, the last 20, but progressively more over the last 10. And you used to have the power of prayer, and you used to have the power of righteousness, and like I said, there was, you know, communion is so important, and it's not even really being observed in the churches that still claim to proclaim Jesus Christ as the King. So when you put all of those factors together, you have to see that the forces that were good, that held back the forces of evil, have been diminished significantly, which obviously gives free rein to that evil. I don't think God's going to sit there and he won't battle our free will. I mean, if
right,
people are saying, I'm done with him, and we're removing God from the land, and you know, we no longer want God's protection or God's blessings, I think he'll honor the request.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when you have in kindergarten, when you have in kindergarten, you can't, just like you mentioned about President Trump talking about, you know, here and it may have the timing wrong, but he's talking about Jesus Christ and the Savior of the world, the light of the world, and see, you can't even go into a public school and have a Christmas presentation anymore, because it might offend somebody. But they can bring these damnable cross-dressing drag queens, these Leroys dressed up as Susan in here with all this filth that they have, and they can have drag queen story hour. See, they can come in and have this filth, these demented, demonic beings come in and present themselves in front of impressionable kindergartners and every age all the way up, but down into kindergarten now. And,
well, you know what? Shame on the parents.
It is. And shame on the school administrators and every one of them. You know, the scripture that says, do no harm to these children. It'd be better if you're drowned in the sea. If you drown. And they say that is one of the most horrid ways to die. And that would be better than to harm one of these children. And these that allow this, and the Bible talks about that. You people that seek the way of death, or that heartily approve it. And, it is going to be, the song comes to mind, there's a great day coming, but it's going to be a sad day for some. It really is. But you know, so they our enemies and many people have stood by and allowed it to happen. They have taken God out of the school, and out of the workplace and out of everywhere that they can. And then, you know, our pastor taught a void does not just continue to be a void. Something fills it up. You know, you dig a hole, something's going to fill it up. It's going to fill up with water or gravel's going to pour. Something's going to fill it up. And that's how it is there. You take God out, you take this prayer out, and then you fill it with this filth and these impressionable children, and our enemy understands that. And they see it as normal. Well, that's what I saw in school. The teacher was okay with it. You tell me to obey the teacher, mommy and daddy, and so the teacher was okay with it. And so yeah, it's okay for Billy to have two daddies, or for Susie to dress up like Billy. For me to get a sec, I think I'm a boy now. Now I think I'm a girl. It is insanity, and it's being put forth as education. And folks, if you're out there and you still put your children in those damnable, ungodly, antichrist public schools, you've been warned. You've been warned for 30 years from our pastor about it. And if you still do it, you know, and I think that's why we still have to continue on. That's why we still pray that we continue, you know, have a love for the truth. You know, and that's what Pastor always put out, and we continue to put it out, the truth. It may be politically incorrect. It may be offensive to some. But the Word is still the Word. The Word is still truth. And, you know, John, from your, for a solid year, you've been warning people and telling people that this is what we have to do as watchmen on the wall, or their blood's on our hand. And that's what we continue to do because it is true love. What this world puts out as love today is either lust or hate. And true love comes from the Word. That if you love your brother, if you see him sinning, you correct him, you let him know.
There's still some school districts out there in the rural areas where the enemy hasn't got to yet, just because they've targeted the larger schools first.
Yes.
To try to do as much damage as possible.
That is true.
And there's still teachers that are standing up for Jesus Christ that are still trying to keep God in there. I mean, I know several teachers that are in rural areas that so far they haven't been infiltrated, and those kind of facilities I think you're still okay in. But here's the other thing. You got generations of teachers who were brought up fearing God that are retiring, and it used to be 30 years ago it was just in higher education where this insanity was, but unfortunately, based on our teachings that you have to go to college and things like that, we have 30 years now of teachers all the way from kindergarten on up that have been indoctrinated
Yes.
into these lies
Yes.
in higher education, and the cancer is spread, obviously, by design, part of the protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion. But here's the thing, parents, you need to be involved. You need to understand what's going on in your school. You need to look at the stuff that they give your children. You need to try to spend some time. There's no restrictions from a parent spending time in a class and listening to what these teachers are saying, and particularly in the higher grades, we need to take a stand. That's just the bottom line. The fact that I wasn't able to back in 63 and 64, you know, when they removed prayer from the schools and when they made it illegal, basically, to read your Bible in the public schools. But these are our battles. This is our time. And
that's right.
If you're going to be a Christian, then you're a disciple. That's what the Bible says. The first time the word Christian was used was with the disciples. You're going to be a disciple, a Jedi disciple, then this is our battle, this is our war, and we need to be exposing the evil, demonic forces of hell that are coming against our children in all of these different ways.
Yeah.
If you're not, then don't call yourself a Christian.
Amen. And you know, it goes like you said, John.
The thing that you got to realize is too is you need to be doing that and spending time in the classroom, even if you got your kids in a Christian school. I mean, just because because they call themselves a Christian school doesn't mean that they're teaching the truth either. And
that's the fact.
And we've seen it. And it was the same thing. I mean, I was privileged to go to a large part of my education came from a Christian school, and it was, you know, there was issues when I was a kid in a private Christian school that came up on a regular basis, is, you know, what was being taught there. So it's, you know, and you get it both ways. I mean, and in the same point in time, there's some really good schools out there. There's a lot of communities where people have stayed involved in the public schools and went to the meetings, and you know, that there's still a large Christian influence on them too. So, you know, it's just all over the board.
It is.
Yeah, I remember Dad talking about even back, you know, probably 40 years ago, when they started introducing sex ed, you know, into the schools, and how he went there and he fought it and stuff. And, you know, that was just the camel's nose under the tent when you start to look back at these things. And then, you know, the people who fought those battles, many aren't here anymore, but they couldn't even fathom the things that are going on in the schools today. But the problem is, the world has everybody so busy being under Satan's yoke, basically. And anything that you're not doing that isn't for the kingdom of God is busy, because it's keeping you from doing the things that we need to be doing. That's our whole purpose here on earth, is to reveal to those who do not yet know the truth regarding Jesus Christ and salvation, spreading fulfilling the Great Commission, spreading the gospel. And you know, the enemy is working harder than we are in a lot of ways to diminish the power of God and to win those that they can over to the other side. That's why I think it's so important. It comes to mind the fact, like the Book of Enoch that we're in right now. What was it that the devil said? You know, what's the greatest deception, really? Is the devil got people to believe that he didn't exist? Well, if you read what's given to us in what's called the Holy Scriptures in the Bible, you get a little bit in Genesis, you get a little bit here and there about demons and how the disciples cast them out and how Jesus cast them out, but you don't get much definition into where did they come from, where are they, how do they affect the sons of God and the women, or the women of God. That's what the Book of Enoch does, and that's why I think the enemy's done as much as they can to keep these truths from us. Because if you know your enemy, it's much easier to defend. I don't know if what you guys think about all that, but that's what came to mind.
Absolutely.
I think a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
The border war that we're having with Mexico, has anybody got any updates on, you know, what's happening down there?
Well, they're planning on another Russian border today, I think.
Another rush? Is that what you said?
If it was today or not. It's kind of funny, though. Okay. You look at these, you know, these starving Guatemalans, and boy, I've never seen a bunch of, you know, they try to show all these pictures of these fat sows on there, and it's like, oh yeah, it sure looks like you were starving, and there's absolutely no way that you walked 1,700 miles, because you'd be a little thinner if you did.
That's right.
I mean, it's comical, some of the stuff that they're putting out. I mean, it's just like, I mean, if people had half a brain, they'd be able to figure some of this out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
well, it's like we talked about with the asymmetric warfare. You know, you see them rushing the border, and they're carrying a Honduran flag and a Guatemalan flag, and headed for the line. And of course, they got tear gassed and pushed back. But I'm not sure. But on the world stage, when somebody rushes your border with their flag to plant it on your ground, you call that
that's a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is an act of war.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It is.
If you think about it, it's like somebody tries to rush into my house, and here in Colorado they got a stand your ground, king of the castle, make my day laws. Somebody tries to come in my door, and they're kicking my door down or whatever they're doing, breaking a window to try to get in. I have legal right to use lethal force to stop them from coming into my house. Lethal force. I'm not talking about tear gas. I'm not talking about putting a wall up or a fence out to keep them out. I'm talking, I got the right to shoot them.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and if someone's coming at you in a conflict type situation, and you all bring your best weapon to a situation like that, if you were in a battle, I mean, so if their weapon's a sharp stick and yours is a whatever weapon of choice you have, yeah, exactly. Does that make it? That's not a fair fight, or that's not a and. I know there's a lot of police officers with justified shootings because someone had a knife. They had a gun, they say put the knife down, and people won't do it. Well, they're not unarmed, and they have ill intent, so, they're fully within their expectation of defense to protect themselves.
And they put it out, which I think is another... spell being broken that people seeking a better life, okay? Things are terrible in my country, so I want to go to your country. That's not the definition of seeking asylum. It's just not. It's just an invasion. And that has come out. You hear all those asylum seekers. There, even Mexico has arrested MS-13 gang members down there that were in the caravan, that are in... this group. So, folks, we've said it before, we say it again, don't give up your guns. Don't give up your guns at all. You need to keep your powder dry. You need to keep your Bible worn out with reading and highlighting and studying. And, we have to do that. Had this report, just to give you an attitude, the attitude of so many today, had a grad student. Now, a college grad student, is that like a senior? Is that like a fourth year or fifth year college student? I don't have a college education, so I don't know. So here's
after your 4 years of basic college.
Okay, so here's a Harvard grad student, young female, 24 years old, Layla Perney, 24-year-old Alabama native, grad student at Harvard. Now, I'm not promoting Harvard, although Harvard was started as a Christian school, but it's certainly not there anymore. She was told to move out of her apartment after her legally owned firearms made her roommates uncomfortable. Now, it'd be one thing if you're, maybe if you're wearing your AR-15 on your back all the time at the house, or keeping your pistol on your hip all the time around people that are unfamiliar with guns. She had her firearms tucked away in storage, basically, in the back of her closet, hidden. Here's a couple quotes from her roommates. This Layla Perney asked, she says, when I asked my roommates, why were you in my room to begin with? Three of them had completely contradictory stories, but one comment struck her in particular. They said, well, we saw that you had a Make America Great Again hat, and come on, you're from Alabama, so we just kind of assumed that you had something to hide. So they go in, and they search her room. Now, this is an invasion of privacy right there. Nobody say anything about that. So they come in and search her room, And they were uncomfortable with having firearms in the house. It deprives them of the quiet enjoyment of the premise, is what they said. This was a quote from these left-wing liberal snowflake libtards. We discussed with her that all of us are uncomfortable with having firearms in the house, and that their presence causes anxiety and deprives us of the quiet enjoyment of the premise to which we are entitled. Now, folks, that's the insanity
of college students, not all of them, but many of them today. And, you know, and see, nothing is said about that, that her privacy was invaded, that these people went around snooping. Who knows what they might have stolen? And so they go to the landlord of the apartment complex, and it's not in the contract, anything about, you know, nothing about it, but it is now. And kicking her out, a grad student, 5 years. Now, how about the last 4 years that she's had those firearms there? No problem. She didn't shoot anybody. But that's the attitude, and that is the mentality, or lack of mentality, of these snowflakes that believe they're, oh, we're entitled to the quiet enjoyment and we're entitled to no anxiety and the quiet enjoyment of the premise that we're entitled to. Anyway, that just
goes. Yeah, you know, the lesson there is be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know all the details. That's why it alarm bells go off when you talk to people who, especially the younger generation, where they start bragging about this or that, you know, what gun they have, how much ammo they have,
right,
things like that. Even, you know, getting bold about your political beliefs really doesn't make any sense. I think part of the reason that some of these elections aren't turning out the way that polls, so-called polling, goes is, you know, they've asked me before, how do you feel about this and that, whatever, who would you vote for, this and that, and typically I'll give them the opposite answer of the way that I believe. And I think that's good, because once you, the enemy sees that they appear to be winning, you know, that the majority of the people are been brainwashed and go the way that they go, their defenses are lowered. The amount of offense that they put out is lowered as well. And it's just time to choose your battles and not to tip your cards or reveal too much information until the proper time. And the proper time is when your life or your family's life or liberty is threatened, not just to try to portray yourself as some great patriot, or, you know what I'm saying? It's we have to choose our battles carefully and be wise as serpents and harmless as snakes, from reading those types of stories.
It was interesting this week. On another note, they came out with a report that I thought was pretty interesting, and it said military warns EMP attacks could wipe out America. They did a big report, and they called this Electromagnetic Defense Task Force, and it was done by Air Force University. And boy, it was pretty interesting. It was just came out this week, but I want to talk more about that later on. But I'm going to try to get this posted up on the newswire. I thought it was a really good article that was really really interesting. And it just goes into the fact that electromagnetic pulse and EMP, you know, as we've had a lot of EMP, but, you know, threats in the past. But it also, you know, what people think of EMP as just as a weapon, but I mean, a solar flare is essentially the same thing,
right,
in a lot of ways, and it has a lot of the same effects upon electronic systems. So, and this article actually goes into quite a bit of that. I'm going to try to get that posted up on the newswire, but it was really interesting.
Yeah, I saw that too. One thing I want to say before we're running out of time is keep the white farmers in South Africa in your prayers. They just basically were fighting through the court system so that their land could not be seized without compensation. And some stinking judge, imagine that, just like here in America, ruled that they have no grounds to basically to be compensated for their land. And what's planned there is white genocide.
Yes.
And I think we specifically need to pray against Cyril Ramaphosa's, who basically took over after Jacob Zuma was pushed out. You know, there's a picture of at least thousands of white Christian farmers holding crosses on their knees, praying to God with tears in their eyes. And we as Christians, we need to join together with them. I think you have to be careful about imprecatory prayer. You need to make sure that your house is in order. And I would just pray that with the authority given to you as a son of God by Jesus Christ as you pray. But we need to pray for South Africa. And these are our people, these farmers out there. And in fact, why don't we do that? Heavenly Father, we lift up your people there in South Africa, Father, those that know you and love you and fear you. And Father, we just cry out for grace, mercy, and compassion. And Lord, we know that there's no more powerful weapon, offensively or defensively, than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we plead that blood of Jesus Christ over those farmers there, Lord, that
yes.
know you and love you and fear you. And Father, we ask for intervention, Lord, however you see fit. Father, we just pray for your guardian angels to be about them and your warring angels to battle Leviathan. Father, give those that are in positions of authority wisdom and understanding. Father, we do ask that those that can come to repentance, that you would bring them to repentance. But Father, those that would not have you rule over them, bring them to the courts and slay them, Lord. We want them off their land or under it as well, Father, just as in this country. Lord, we claim that blessed land of South Africa to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And say, Satan, you can't have that one either, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. John, you're right.
Thank you, Lord.
We're out of time this morning. Folks, we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that right on your computer at scriptures4america.org. Join us starting at 8:30 Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have, we'll be praising the King of Kings and learning from His Word and partake of communion. So we invite you to join us there. We hope that you will. Men, thanks for joining us. Remnant, thanks. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High.